Welcome to the Raging Rhino Podcast. This is podcast number 52. My name is John. DC Comics and Chocolate Milkshake. Some things will always be great. And I'm back. It's been quite the mess for the podcast the past couple of months. I had been using a tool provided by GoDaddy.com called Quick Blogcast to upload the podcast and maintain the website. Unfortunately, GoDaddy decided they no longer wanted to carry that tool because of low usage. So they recommended switching to WordPress. Okay, fine. I did everything I needed to do to switch from one to the other, and I knew that the switch would cause me to lose all my audio files, but that's no big deal. I could always reload them. The problem was, this transition took place over the time Gina and I were visiting family and getting in some quality beach time in the Carolinas. Sure enough, I log in from my iPhone on vacation and see the audio files are no longer there. Again, no big deal. However, once this conversion was finally done, I lost my web page altogether. Now, I can't get the site to go back to the aesthetic style I had under the old tool because that template is now gone. It's quite frustrating, but I'll figure something out. I have one other problem. This goes back to the very beginning when I started this. Now, keep in mind, I've mentioned before that I know nothing about the technical aspects of this. I don't know much about audio recording, as you might be able to tell. And I sure as hell don't know much about website building, which is why I wanted something simple and user-friendly, like I used to have. But when I originally built the site using this old tool, I made a mistake, and RagingRhinoPodcast.com was not where you actually saw the podcast. No, all that was put on podcast.RagingRhinoPodcast.com. And that is what iTunes reads. So now, I don't know how to get iTunes to change to the now correct site. I know it can be done, but I don't know how to do it. I'm still researching that, but until then, the podcast will only be available directly from the website. So, between all that hassle with the site, vacation, family obligations, Libertarian Party obligations, and just general mental fatigue, I missed the podcast last month. I will at some point have a month with two podcasts. See, I wanted there to be an average of one podcast a month. And very early on, I did two in 1 month. But I lost that advantage when I also missed a month of podcasts a while back. So instead of being one ahead, I'm now one behind, and I need to catch up just for my own self-esteem. Anyway, since I missed the month of June, I'm modifying the content for this podcast also. If you recall, I had intended to continue the smarmy theme, but I'll just revisit that another time. Instead, I'm going to talk comic books. Yes, you heard correctly. It's been a while since I said this, but it's my podcast, and I just feel like talking about it. It is, after all, time for the San Diego Comic-Con going on right now as I speak this. And this is the 52nd podcast. And for comic book fans, particularly fans of DC Comics, you'll understand that 52 is an important number. I'm going to explore some of the controversies happening in comic books. Yes, you heard correctly. There are actually controversies in comic books. So, to start off with, I'll get your feet wet with some sci-fi and a movie based on a comic book. I want to talk about the reactions to a couple of really brief scenes in two different movies. One from last year and one that just recently came out. Last year, J.J. Abrams released his second Star Trek movie, Into Darkness. The movie itself got mixed reviews from the real diehard Trekkers, but I personally really liked it. It was a lot of fun, great action, interesting twists, and deviations from the original Trek universe. But there was one scene that got nearly universally drugged. And perhaps you remember the hissy fit some people made about it. Maybe you remember the scene yourself if you saw the movie. A woman, played by Alice Eve, leads Captain Kirk, played by Christopher Pike, into a shuttlecraft for a private conversation. They talk about a plan of action for the crisis they are facing. Then, for no reason whatsoever, she decides that right at that moment, she needs to change into the gear for that mission and starts to take off her clothes. She demands that Kirk keeps his back to her. Of course, if you know the character, Kirk is being Kirk, and he can't just do that. He turns around and he looks at her. The scene shows her in a bra and panties, with her arms spread wide as she looks at him incredulously and snaps, "Turn around!" I'll need a moment here because I'm now picturing it in my mind. Alice Eve in her underwear. I was in the theater next to Gina, and when that gorgeous woman was on screen looking that hot for all of 2 seconds, I let out a small yet audible whimper. Gina rolled her eyes. But like I said, there was no reason for her to be in her underwear. The scene was just an excuse to show 2 seconds of eye candy. Sweet, sweet, delicious eye candy. So, out come all the snits. Exploitation, objectification, gratuitous! How dare you have a scene that shows a beautiful woman in her underwear without having a legitimate reason? My reaction to the scene? God bless J.J. Abrams, God bless Alice Eve, and God bless America. She's stunning. I want to see her in her underwear, and even less than her underwear, to be perfectly honest. And if you can't find a way to make it happen in the movie within reason, then do it without a reason. I don't care. All that matters is this. Is Alice Eve okay with it? If so, it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. Simple as that. So, a few weeks ago, Gina and I are once again in the theater. This time, we are watching X-Men Days of Future Past. Near the beginning of the movie, Wolverine, played by Hugh Jackman, wakes in bed next to a woman. For reasons I will not get into, lest you think I'm spoiling a recent movie, he is disoriented. So he gets up out of bed and stands up with his back to the camera, because I'm sure there's no way they'd get away with a full frontal. But right there, for 2 seconds, is Hugh Jackman's naked ass. Gina let out a small but audible whimper. I rolled my eyes. And yes, I know I'm bisexual, but Hugh Jackman just doesn't do it for me. Daniel Cudmore, the guy who plays Colossus? Yummy. So, after watching the movie, I started paying close attention to the blogosphere. Because surely the same people who so adamantly decried Alice Eve's gratuitous underwear scene would create a fuss over Hugh Jackman's gratuitous naked ass scene. And Let's see. No. No. Don't see anything like that anywhere. No. Not a word. Nothing. Is it because they're okay with one gender being exploited? Do they think women in general and Alice Eve in specific are so weak that they cannot defend themselves from directors and their cameramen? Are they smarmy busybody elitists who think that if they grouse enough, they will shame people into no longer appreciating the female form? Yeah, pretty sure it's all of the above. And hey, look at that. I got the smarmy thing in anyway. Some of us, and by some of us I mean mostly men, are visual people. We like looking at pretty things. It makes us happy. And other emotions. When I watch the modern Star Trek movies, I like looking at Alice Eve. And Carl Urban, for that matter. I think he's hot. And when I watch X-Men movies, I like watching Daniel Cudmore and Anna Paquin, for that matter. I think she's hot. But if you think it's bad with comic book movies, you ain't seen nothing yet. This whole admiration-shaming thing has been going on in comics for quite a while. I can see why some of it happens. I mean, with the amount of time he puts it into a comic book, I'm pretty sure Ed Bennis could draw a woman's ass in his sleep. It is a male-dominated genre created by male-dominated talent. Traditionally, or perhaps stereotypically, comics readers are boys. I started when I was 8, and it has evolved into more than just comics for kids. Comic books are really more for adults these days. So the boys became teenagers, the teenagers became men like me, and we still like looking at pretty things. I mean, what do men want? Traditionally, or perhaps stereotypically, they want to see a pretty woman. So you have characters like Starfire or Power Girl, who are portrayed as exotic and quite well endowed. Starfire in particular came under some controversy about 3 years ago when DC restarted their entire line of comics and Starfire was portrayed as overtly sexual in the first issue of the revamp. Now, it didn't matter that the backstory of the character actually made sense for her to be that way. There were still cries of misogyny and objectification. There's a difference between portraying a character as sexually liberated and writing her as a sex object, they said. Look, if you've listened to my podcast for any length of time, you know I am pretty sexually open, relatively speaking. Sometimes, a sexually liberated person will flat out tell someone, I wanna fuck you. Sometimes, those sexually liberated people, who also happen to be considered highly attractive, will flaunt it. And sometimes they will flaunt it while flat out telling someone, I wanna fuck you. What I'm saying is that the people who bitched about this character not being properly portrayed as sexually liberated have no idea what it means to be sexually liberated. And really, what it boils down to for me is who the hell do you think you are dictating what sexual liberation is to the rest of us? Just because you wouldn't do it, just because you turn your nose at the idea, doesn't mean everyone else has to conform to your narrow definition. Then there's the commentator who wrote an article about the misrepresentation of female characters in comics. And I really wish I had saved the link to the article, because it was just pissing me off. Unfortunately, I went to look for it earlier this week, and I can't find it. The reason why I wanted to talk about it so much is because the article was written at least a year ago. I want to say even longer than that. But the woman recently went back to her own article to see how much has changed since it was first published. Have they listened to me? Was the essence of her follow-up piece. As you can imagine, she found there was little to no change. Of course, she's no Gail Simone, but more on that name later. A couple of years ago, during one of the comic book conventions, a woman asked a DC panel why they didn't have more female characters that were not archetypes of popular male characters. Outside of Wonder Woman, DC's most popular female characters are probably Batwoman and Supergirl. The not-so-subtle insinuation was that DC is only brave enough to publish a heroine that is just an offshoot of a male character. I wonder if she will go to the Marvel panel this year and ask the same about the new female Thor or the all-female X-Men comic. And once again, the argument is based on fallacy. Here is what Batwoman has in common with Batman. They both wear bat-themed costumes. They both come from wealthy families. And they both have sex with women. That's it. That's the fucking list. Just because the female character has a symbol on her costume that makes her more prone to be given a shot by mainstream comic book readers doesn't make her a Batman clone. And how sad and superficial are these complainers who can't look past the costume to see a nuanced character put in adventures by talented writers and artists? But I suppose that's what happens when you view the world through a broken prism. I do feel bad for these people who have this myopia that a man admiring the physical beauty of a woman can only be objectifying her. It's a shame they are so narrow-minded and so prejudiced to think a guy like me can't admire a woman's beauty and not be able to comprehend she has more value than just her looks. It saddens me that they can be so openly offensive and bigoted in their thoughts, their words, and their actions, yet they are routinely given a pass and sometimes even a wider stage for their spew. But then again, I will also support other people's rights to say all kinds of ignorant, bigoted, vile things. It's the curse of being a libertarian. It's a challenge for me. When I hear someone say something that is that stupid or evil or just patently wrong, I will reflexively say they need to shut up. In fact, I'm positive I've done that in the past on this podcast. I'm really trying to break that habit. As much as I think reason and peace would benefit from such idiocy being quiet, I realize it all has to be out there, or we are not truly free. The good news is there's a better example. One of the hallmarks of heroic narratives is overcoming tragedy, and comic books are no different. Bruce Wayne witnesses his parents' murder and becomes Batman. Jor-El realizes his planet is about to explode, so he sends his son to Earth where he becomes Superman. But those tragedies are part of the origin. other heroes have tragedies later. Black Manta murders Aquaman's infant son. In a current comic book set in the future, Firestorm has lost his mother and many friends when the city of Pittsburgh is destroyed in an alien invasion because the Justice League decided it was more vital to protect New York and Washington, D.C. But one commentator pointed out that it seemed such tragedies were used too conveniently, and often to the detriment of a female character. The tipping point for the commentator came during the early days of a new Green Lantern character named Kyle Rayner. He wasn't taking his new role very seriously, even though his girlfriend, Alexandra DeWitt, tried to get him to be more responsible. Unfortunately for poor Alice, she doesn't last long. Kyle comes home to find her murdered and stuffed into a refrigerator by a villain named Major Force. So this commentator, Gail Simone, begins to write a blog called Women in Refrigerators, pointing out that this has been a convenient plot device for many writers, and that if they want to increase women readership, like they say they want to, then they shouldn't be killing off female characters. Of course, there was backlash and rebuttal, some citing that a sidekick is just as likely to die, or that women who die in comics often have a heroic death rather than as a victim. But Gail took it a step further, and this is why the world in general, and the comic book world in specific, needs more Gail Simones. She started writing comics. She became that agent of change that others only talked about. She offered up a solution to the problem she perceived. Now, this happened during a time when I wasn't actively reading comics. I was an avid DC fan in my youth, but I stopped after high school because I didn't have the money and because I wanted to get laid. So, back in 2005, when I started getting back into comics, I hear about this great, relatively new writer named Gail Simone, and I'm told I should give her stuff a try. Great advice, because it's fantastic. I would recommend any of her work, but for me, Secret Six is my absolute favorite. She puts a wicked sense of humor into her writing, and that particular series always stood out for me. Now, I don't agree with a lot of her politics, but that's not much of an issue for me. I really only have a problem with fiction writers if they try to preach to me through their writing that only their point of view is correct. That's why I didn't care for the character of Green Arrow for so long, because he was used as little more than an avenue for some writer's socialist agenda. One of the things I like most about Simone is that she tells an honest story. In other words, it might be her style, and it might be her muse, but the characters are not altered due to her ideology. Other writers who let their politics change the character into something it's not, well, that's their business, and they're welcome to attract whatever readership they really want. Of course, sometimes the consequences of creator decisions causes problems. Two recent decisions by DC bigwigs had repercussions. First, they initially resisted the use of the Superman symbol on a statue to memorialize a boy in Canada who was a victim of child abuse. Now, one of the basics of copyright law is if you don't fight an unauthorized use, then you will likely lose any similar subsequent uses. So DC had to fight it, or else it would be open to similar use later. Next, do you really want your symbol to be on something related to child abuse? I read recently that DC had decided to allow it, but I can certainly understand their initial reaction. Second, in 2011, when DC restarted their entire line of comics, one of the editorial edicts was no marriage. Every superhero was starting fresh, so Superman was no longer married to Lois Lane. Flash was no longer married to Iris West. I think only Aquaman escaped that edict. Furthermore, no character was to get married for at least a few years. Because again, they're restarting their line. They want to reestablish their characters. They want to have them in an earlier part of their life. Then, about a year ago, the creative team behind Batwoman wanted her to get married to her girlfriend. They were told no. This became a news story that DC was against gay marriage. The media obviously got it wrong, and even the creators later clarified that it was an all-marriage thing, not a gay marriage thing. Funny thing, though, is that some in the media are still getting it wrong even a year later. When news broke a few weeks ago about the changes coming to some of the Marvel characters, Daily Beast writer Liz Watson bemoaned DC for banning gay marriage, while Marvel now has a black Captain America and the new female Thor. Fortunately, someone very early on pointed out the error in the commentary. But still, the media perpetuated the falsehood based on lazy fact-checking. So, when I'm going on about comics, I hope you understand the connections to the real world I'm trying to make. We have people out there trying to force others to conform to their morality, either through social shaming or litigation. The best case scenario is they are an annoying distraction. The worst case scenario is they use the force of government to ban things they don't like, to the detriment of personal liberty. Voicing an opinion is one thing. But going beyond your right to free speech and becoming an agent of force that prohibits others from their freedom and their peaceful interaction with others is just becoming the very evil you think you're fighting. You may think your cause is just because the action you're against may possibly lead to criminal activity by certain people in certain circumstances. I understand your fear, but you cannot put a blanket of punishment against all for the possible future evils of some. Society continues to make this mistake that proactive bans lead to a safer world. Prostitution, drugs, homosexuality, these are just a few things that ought to be allowed in a society that proclaims to be free. If consenting adults are doing these things, why should anyone else care? But no, the busybodies think they have to save souls and tax sin to raise government revenue so they stick their noses into other people's business. But it's not just enough to bitch about these things. If you really believe in something, you need to speak out. If something is wrong, speak out against it. But there's more to it than that. Come up with a solution. Even if everyone else thinks you're crazy, speak it. And if you have the ability, do more than just talk. Be the change you wish to see. I think prostitution and drugs should be legalized, even though I have no interest in participating in either of those actions. If you're willing to pay for sex, and someone is willing to perform sex on you for that money, then you should be allowed to do it. If you get a disease from the transaction, then you are solely responsible for the consequences of your actions. I'm not talking about women or children who are forced into prostitution, only those who are participating of their free will. Similarly, with drugs, if you want to put it in your body, go ahead. But if you OD or you suffer from adverse reactions later on, don't expect me to pay for your medical bill. And I've covered gay marriage enough. Go listen to the other podcasts. Come up with a solution. Speak out and share your ideas with others. Be the change you believe in. But don't be surprised when the powers that be mock you, blatantly misrepresent you in the media, or even lie about you. The ones in power have had over 100 years to build their empire. Your change will not happen overnight. It may take another 100 years to tear the empire down. Don't be discouraged. Statists are a superstitious, cowardly lot. So you must fight a never-ending battle for truth, justice, and the constitutional way. Let those who worship collectivist might beware, because they are what you fight against now. Keep going, because there's always hope. Time to save the world. See what I did there? This is the Raging Rhino Podcast. You'll hear from me again.